All right, welcome into this is a special edition of Football 52. No Ed Lamb today. He is absent. No, he was here the other day. We got our regular episode recorded with head coach Ed Lamb where we talk all things UNC football. And a couple of weeks ago, he and I were talking. We're talking about the workouts and practice and everything. And a very, very unique story popped up in our conversations. One of the reasons I love doing these, we're talking about workouts. We're talking about guys struggling, getting through workouts and all that. And Ed brings up this young man and says, you know, anytime a guy's like, oh, this is too hard, this is too tough, I don't know if I can get through it, he points to this guy, to this young player, Miles McClarity, out of Fountain, Fort Carson, and he starts talking about his journey, what he's going through, and it just absolutely blew me away. So Miles and I have been talking via social media and everything, and I want to get into his story because my goodness, it gives me goosebumps to talk about what he's going through. Miles is in studio with a safety for the UNC Bears, freshman,
yes, sir.
All brand new. Miles, my man, thank you for being in here, dude.
It's an honor. It's an honor. Thank you for having me.
I was messing with you, too, dude. I mean, listen to those pipes. Listen to that voice, dude. You could be like one of those music guys, you know, hey, we're going to bring you into a cool night, 104, whatever. You know, you think about radio at some point?
I mean, in the last couple of years, I've been told I can't even count how many times that I should do radio or something.
Let's keep talking. You and I just keep talking.
Hearing man. It in the headphones, I guess I can see where they're coming from.
So this is the first time you've kind of heard it in the headphones, yeah. Man. You don't just like record yourself and then go back and listen to it. Not everybody's weird like me, dude. Okay, Miles. So I want like our audience, I want you to take this podcast and pretend nobody knows this story. Nobody knows about, and that's kind of what I tell Ed. Like, we're talking to diehard football fans. We're talking to fans that might not know a lot about the program. Mm. So I want you to tell me your story.
Yes,
how old are you, first off, Miles?
I'm 19. I just turned 19 February 3rd.
Man, you are, like, let me just say this. You're 19 years old. You're well-spoken. You reached out to me shortly after the podcast. You got a bright future, man.
Thank you. There's no question about it.
You smile lights up the room, all this. All right, so you're 19 years old. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this podcast today, Miles?
It's just a way to, you know, share my story, you know, shed some light on the program that's, you know, uplifting me, UNC. Just allow me to, you know, push out my agenda and try to help people that have helped me and, you know, make a difference in this world.
Well, so you're 19 years old. In 2021, you found out something pretty interesting, pretty tough, pretty scary. Talk to us about that.
So we're in the playoffs. You know, we're having a great season. I'm probably having the best season I've ever had in my life, actually. And we go up to Montrose. We have a road trip. It's everything's going great. I'm having so much fun. It's like a movie, really. And you know, the game is going on, and I'm a lot more tired than usual. You know, I in the game I chopped it up to. They were running a wing tee. So
come on. Yeah.
Who likes a wing tee?
not this guy. No way. No way.
So I'm just, they're just running this offense. Maybe I'm tired, but I'm usually not, like, I'm not the type of guy to have to tap the helmet, come out the game, but I had to come out, and the game goes by, you know, we lose handedly. I don't like to talk about it.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that. We don't have to get into the details of that. No problem.
Yeah. And so my parents end up getting a hotel up there to stay the night so we don't have to drive back on the bus. So, you know, I get to the hotel and I just immediately just start feeling off. Like, I'm just sick. I have bruises all over my body, just like, but not normal bruises, you know, like.
Not like football bruises.
Yeah, not football bruises. And then, you know, the weeks go by. I just get progressively worse, like. I can't get up without being lightheaded and feeling having to pass out. And I'm just constantly sick. And it's like, I got tested for mono. I got tested for COVID. I got tested for everything under the sun. And then one day I had a nosebleed that went on for an hour plus. And, you know, nosebleeds, they're normal. We're in Colorado. It's dry. But, you know, it's when you have all these symptoms and they start stacking up, you start to think, okay, maybe this is something different. Maybe it's something serious. So we end up going to the urgent care. And once I got to the urgent care, that's when everything really like turned. Like I passed out. I'm vomiting. And then they take my blood. And once they see what's going on, like they bump me in front of everybody. They take me to the back. And that's when the doctor, he said it kind of, he came in, he said it kind of brash, kind of like abrupt. He's like, yeah, so looking at your blood, we think you might have cancer. Oh. And then he kind of just left. And so me and my family, we're exhausted. And so it's just silence, and we're just looking at each other, and we don't know what to do. And then we just go into autopilot. They say, we're going to have an ambulance for you in the morning. We're going to take you to Children's. So my stepdad rushes home, grabs anything he can think of that will maybe need him. Me and my mom go in the ambulance to Children's, and then that's when my journey starts. I start getting treatment that day.
When you hear that word, when they say, hey, we think, doctor walks in and says, we think you might have cancer, like, you said you go into autopilot. Yeah. Did the world just shut off? I mean, because some people will tell you a story, things go, it speeds up. It's like, yeah, things are moving around you so fast, or life stops for a moment.
You know, in the moment, it felt like it stopped. You know, in the movies when you got the little ringing and the camera fades, but that's what it felt like. And it was just because you always see the commercials, and cancer, it's always a real thing, but it's never, unless you're directly experiencing it, it's never a real thing to you.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a weird feeling. And then after that, it was boom, 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 boom.
So you go to Children's. What form of cancer?
Leukemia. Blood cancer. Mm-hmm.
So when you're first told about this, obviously you're going through everything. Mm-hmm. What are they telling you? Like, hey, we're gonna nail this thing. We're gonna take care of it. It's all good signs. Like, what are you hearing?
They're always like Children's. They specialize in that kind of thing to really mitigate how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. They make you feel comfort in the chaos. And you know, it's just, they did feel me, they made me feel safe. I can't even put into words how grateful I am for the people at Children's.
So how old were you? You were what, 17?
16.
16 years old.
Yeah, 16.
How common is that for a 16-year-old to get this type of cancer?
The type of cancer I have is more common in smaller children.
Okay.
But I've met some adolescents and young adults that have the same thing.
So you're 16 years old, you find this out, you're having a great football year, everything's going good. Mm-hmm. What's the football season situation look like at that point then?
You know, in my head, I'm, all right, I'm going to kick this thing and I'm going to be back next season. You know, my mind immediately went to Eric Berry. You know, those types of guys that dealt with it, came back, and you know, had this big hoorah, big opening day, and that was my vision. But you know, it just sucked because I was at peak physical performance. My body was great. I was strong. I was fast, and that was the hardest part, was just losing everything, all the progress over the years, because you don't lose it up here, but the physical toll it takes on your body is just devastating.
Well, so at that point on the football side of things, I mean, you're wanting to play college football, like, mm-hmm. that's in your head, like every game counts, every rep counts, because I know I'm just building that resume so I can go play mm-hmm. big time college football.
Yeah.
So you guys, I mean, I know how serious you take your workouts and your study, your film, all of that, and then to just be hit with that. Now it's like, okay, because football's challenging by itself, and to get to the level that you're at now, to get to the level you're wanting to get to, mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. And then you're thrown this.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, I have school, I have life, I have football, I have now this thing that I got to try to tackle. That is a, I can't even put into words how much that is, especially for a young man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, it sucks, but I have learned that it's, I've grown from it. You know, people say like, you learn from the hard times, but it is really true. People tell me I'm mature and I've had to mature so fast, but really, I struggle, man. It's I can't even put on a front that I don't struggle. I struggle a lot, even to this day. I struggle, so you know it's an everyday battle.
So you're at that point, and again, this is why I appreciate you doing this so much, man. Because this story of yours, and when Coach Lamb's talking about you this way, it's like, say what? He's playing Division I football for the UNC Bears, and he's going through this, and he's still able to do all the workouts and stuff, man. I don't feel so guilty. I'm like, I feel guilty because I'm like, 5 push-ups is killing me right now. This is difficult. And then to hear your story, it's like, whoa. All right, so what did you play? You didn't obviously play. When was your next game?
From December, I didn't play my entire my senior season, and then I came back that following season. So would have been the year after I graduated. Chassa allowed me to come back and finish my senior season.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Chassa allowed you to come back. That's and I don't even know the rules on that stuff.
Yeah,
I think that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, they had to. It was a process. They had to make an entire hardship rule thing. So yeah, I guess I was the first to have to do something like that.
I've never heard of that either. And I'm thinking, man, so you must have done so well that, what was that, your junior year, you find out, right? So you must have had that monster of a season, but you're able to come back. And I want to get back to that in a moment too. But your process when you're at Children's Hospital, how long did it take you to get to the point where you're feeling good again? Not just like, hey, I'm able to get up and feel okay, but then I'm able to go out and play football.
Oh, man. So, from the get-go, it was hard. I was diagnosed in December, and in February, I had a bone infection in my hip to where I couldn't walk for, I'd say, a month and a half. So, I had to learn how to walk again. And then, from February into around March, May, I had pancreatitis that unfortunately made me diabetic. That was life-threatening. I didn't know how serious it was until months after the fact where my parents told me, like, yeah, we didn't know if you were going to make it. And then in June of that same year, I had mucositis that put me in the hospital, too.
And what is that?
Honestly, I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
But do know it.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, it can be fatal. And then after that, I was pretty good. So, and then I started getting back into it. Man, I'd say after like August.
Okay, so August would have been your actual senior year, right?
That's when I started doing physical therapy and started trying to really get back into, all right, it's time to start thinking about football. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, everything you're listing there. And then, so how long could you not walk?
Ooh, so it actually started the day of the Super Bowl. I think it was like the Bengals-Rams Super Bowl. I think it was that day. That's when I started to feel it. And it really just like happened overnight. Like, I just felt a little pain in my hip, and then I went to sleep, woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, man, like, why can't I walk right now? And then I dealt with it until I had an appointment, and they did MRIs and x-rays, and they said I had a bone infection. But I really couldn't walk on my own for a month and a half, and then even after that, I had to have a walker. So 2 months plus.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you're going through all this stuff, I mean, are you even thinking about football? Are you thinking, I'm going to make this guy? I know you talked about the Eric Berry story, but then you, you have pain and you wake up and you're not able to walk and this is going on for a while. Mm-hmm. Is that dream starting to go away when you're like, dude, I'm not even able to walk at this stage?
Honestly, yeah. You know, when I was so broken that there was times I couldn't imagine getting back, but you know, the fact, like, it was always in the back of my mind that I was going to come back and play. Like, days where it was hard to sleep, you know, just imagining me getting that pick six or me making that play, it always put me at comfort. So, yeah, it always kind of waned, but the drive never leaves.
How hard was it? I mean, because you also have school and all that stuff too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we always talk about your kids going up through high school, and there's stresses and there's things, and sometimes it's hard to stay focused. You're at school for a long time. Yeah. You know, you're going, you're studying. How mm-hmm. how are you able to sit in class and listen to teachers and do your homework and all of this stuff mm-hmm. while you have this giant thing going on?
So my plan was, you know, I'm a do school. I'm a be a trooper. But you know, things started to happen quickly, and it, like, my teachers, my doctors, they all said, you know what, just focus on your health. Mm-hmm. You don't got to do school right now. You can always come back. And so I didn't go back to school until October. Of 2022.
Okay. I mean, and this isn't even getting into it, you know, but that was a stretch of years that were very interesting for young people by mm-hmm. itself, right? Because 2 years before that was COVID, and you had situations where you're not going to class and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and then shortly after that, this happens. You had one heck of a high school journey, man.
I've never had a full high school
year.
COVID happened. In my freshman year, sophomore year was still COVID, so I didn't go to school the first couple months. And then junior year, I had half a year. Senior year, I had half a year. So I never had a full, complete year of high school.
And yet, the first time I walked in here and saw you, you have this gigantic smile. You're doing it now. I mean, you messaged me after the podcast, and you're like, hey, man, thanks for the shout. And I was blown away. I was like, oh, heck yeah. Well, we want to get this guy in here. Mm-hmm. Everything you're telling me, I mean, before the diagnosis, you know, you're going through a weird time with mm-hmm. all that. You haven't gone to an actual full year of high school. Is there a part sometimes in the back of your head where you're like, man, I feel robbed here. I feel like, man, a chunk of those days is just kind of, it's spotty at best.
I mean, because, you know, I talk to my friends and they're like, oh, do you remember this? Or do you remember? I was like, I don't think I was there for that. Mm-hmm. And
dude,
it just sucks, but.
Well, now look, though.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those things that you went through, now you're playing Division I football.
Yep.
You're putting on Division I pads and Division I jerseys, all of that. So what was your football season like the next, when you're actually able to play, that first game?
The first game, you know, it was surreal. You know, it was hard because I'm still that Miles in the back of in my head, but physically I'm a completely different person. So I'm trying to do things that I used to be able to do that I really can't do anymore. And I can't lie, the season was hard. I had the first game was great. We won, but I didn't make the plays I wanted to make. I was getting beat more than I would like.
And you're playing safety at this point too, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
And you know, this was probably one of the hardest seasons for me mentally, just because it's hard to not be able to do the things that I know I could do in the past. And like, I'd be mid game. I remember we played Pine Creek. First play of the game, they run a pump and go. I read it perfectly, and the guy just runs past me because I'm just not as fast as I used to be. And I'm running, chasing him, and I'm saying to myself out loud, damn, I'm not fast enough. Mm. I'm not fast enough. And it's hard. Like, people always tell me, like, you know, you've been through so much, you know, this, that, but like, I need to be here, but I'm right here.
And for you in that moment, that has to be demoralizing. But at the same, my brain's going to, dude, what, a year before that, you mm-hmm. can't walk. And yeah. now you're like, hey, I got beat on a play, still mm-hmm. so phenomenal. Okay, so the rest of the year, it mm-hmm. was it a lot of that? Were you seeing your speed come back, or?
You know, the speed is hard. You know, speed is something you really gotta work at. Even to this day, I'm not nearly as fast as I need to be, but I just had to really rely on my technique and my knowledge to really put me in good positions, because I was just outmatched physically at some points.
At such a young age, you're already, like, years before that, you're thinking of playing D1 football, and you're relying on, obviously you have smarts already, you know, to play at that high level, you got to know what you're doing, mm-hmm. but you had the physical stuff. You had all the speed to make up for maybe a misread or whatever. Mm-hmm. You had to change the way you play football.
Yeah.
To the point where you still got on a D1 football team. Like, at that age, man, that is a rare situation, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, the whole D1 thing, I didn't think I was going to go Division I. You know, junior year I had, you know, all the local D1 schools. I had a lot of FCS schools. And then, you know, I got sick and everything kind of fell to the side. But to be honest, UNC was always, they were always there. They did always support me. And I'm just grateful for that. I didn't think
you had been talking. Were you talking to UNC? Obviously, that would have been, was that Ed? Which Ed was that? At that point, would that have been McCaffrey, or was that still Ernest? How far back are we going here?
Man.
Has this been it's been a blur with a couple of coaching changes.
Yeah. I think that was McCaffrey.
Okay, would have been probably McCaffrey then, right? Yeah, because mm-hmm. this is what, second season for Ed Lamb. It's 2024. Let me do the math. Yeah, would imagine. Yeah. So when you're what is that process like? Because your junior year, mm-hmm. you said you got a lot of situations.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of places looking. Mm-hmm. Did that just kind of go away for a while there? Obviously, is that what that was like?
It did. You know, some schools they still reached out and like, yeah, like we're still we want you, we're still gonna keep up with you, but you know, at the end of the day, it is a business, and players come there's new players every year. And it was really just until UNC offered me, I was gonna go D3 or D2 walk on.
Which still would have been phenomenal.
Of course.
Like the fact that you played your the fact that you played another football game mm-hmm. is pretty phenomenal for me. And then so you're thinking, okay, I'm probably gonna end up going D2, D3, whatever. Mm-hmm. How does UNC come back into play, come back into your life?
So Coach Hadley, he was always supporting me and checking up on me, and I went to the UNC camp over the summer. And he made it a point to talk to me and see how I move and things like that. And then towards the closer days to signing day, we start talking on the phone more. And then he just texts me. He's like, hey, we're coming down there. Where are you going to be? And it's actually funny because I took college classes at a close community college, and I was like, yeah, so I take college classes at this time. And then they were at my high school, and they were like, so where are you? I'm like, oh, I'm at the college right now. They're like, all right, stay there. We're coming. And then Coach Hadley, we meet up, they offer me, and it was just, now I'm here.
How much of that then was them saying, hey, we're looking at junior film and we believe that you're going to be able to get to that level? Like, what is that? What's the thought process there with the coaching staff?
Yeah, so they said, like, you know, we love your junior year film. We think you're a D1 talent, but obviously there's been some things that have happened that you need to build up from, which I completely understand. So they said, you know, we're going to offer you a preferred walk-on. We know what kind of talent you are. We just need to get you in the facility as soon as possible, get that back on you, get the speed, the strength, the weight. And you know, I completely understand.
So when you're being told all this, what's your level like right now? Because you're still dealing with this form of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you feeling at this point?
I feel good. You know, it's day to day. Good from my standpoint is probably different from other people's standpoint. But you know, just a day that I can function and do the things I need to do is a day that I feel good. I take chemo every single day. I take pill chemo, and then I take once a month. I have like liquid IV chemo, and I feel good. You know, I'm able
to. Your energy levels up pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, after chemo, it's always hard, so I have to take a day off, but I feel good.
Well, I want to keep talking about the process with you too, but let's let the listeners know what's the future look like with this diagnosis. What have you been told?
I'm done in May 11th of 2025, so almost a year.
And everything's looking good, right?
Yes,
they're
sir.
Like, hey, man, this is fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, when did you know that things were going to be going to be okay? And again, I know you're still going through it, but you're feeling good and then things are positive now. When did you know that, all right, I'm going to beat this thing, man?
The treatment is broken up into phases. So it's induction and then I forget what, but the last phase is maintenance phase, which is what I'm in now. And ever since I started, there's like, once you get to maintenance phase, it's smooth sailing, you know, this, but once I finally got there and I was like, this is good. I'm getting chemo once a month instead of multiple times a week. You know, my body can actually recover after chemo. It's not getting hit and hit and hit. And that's when I started to really feel like, okay, now I can make some progress.
Before that, were there real doubts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty
I can't
scary.
Even lie. Like there were definitely doubts.
How did your family? So your brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm.
What are their ages?
Oh man, I have.
we're grilling you, man.
No, it's good. I have an older sister. I have an older brother. He's 27.
Okay.
I have an older sister. She's 26. This is on my mom's side, and then I have a brother. He's 21, and then it's me. And on my dad's side, I have a sister. She's 20. Then I'm the middle, and then it's my sister, my other sister. She's 14, I want to say, and then my brother, that's 10.
So you got a lot of people.
I do.
You got a lot of. Are you all close?
Yeah, very close.
Did this bring you closer together, or
Most
were you
definitely.
All close before that?
Mm-hmm. We were close, but
this really did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't need to single anybody out, but were they your rocks, all of them equally? Or, I mean, obviously your mom, your stepdad, going through all this stuff, like this had to be obviously difficult for everybody involved too. I mean, you're going through this, you're facing this, but I mean, your mom, my goodness, I'm thinking about when you were told this first time.
Yeah, my siblings, you know, I only see two of them on a regular basis, so. It really just, you know, siblings always talk, but it really gave us a reason to really talk and always stay in touch. And my dad and my siblings, they came to visit more in the last couple years than normally, just because they need to see how I'm doing. They need to see face to face. And my mom My mom is, she's the best. She doesn't like to be talked about, but.
She's going to hear this. You know that. What's your mom's name? Let's give her a shout out.
Faith Getty. Faith, you are the best. Nathan Getty, you're the best. Rico and Jennifer McClarity, you're the best. I love every single one of them. I would not be this smiling, upbeat person without those people. They are the reason I am the man I am today.
When you do, you guys, like you say, you sit and talk, and it gives them that extra reason to mm-hmm. call, you know. And as you get older, you drift, but finding those little reasons once in a while. Mm-hmm. Do you talk about your cancer situation a lot, or is it one of those things where you're like, let's talk about something, let's talk about the weather?
I'm always open to speak on it. I really just let them, because it's always awkward and kind of a touchy subject for people. They think it's a touchy subject for me. I really don't care, but I just let them direct the conversation, and however much they want to know, I tell them. If they don't want to know, then I just let it be.
You have this. I just gotta say it, man. We've been talking for 31 minutes, 31 right now, and you don't have this victim attitude. You don't have, but you also don't have this. You know, I'm too tough to even talk about it. Acknowledge. You have this perfect balance, and I'm gonna say, man, it's got to be that attitude that's putting you in that seat, talking about the opportunity to play Division I football, man.
Thank you.
Dude, you should be proud. Thank I mean, you. Do you just stop and think, holy crap, I wasn't walking a couple of years ago.
I do. I just got to give all glory to God, man. I wouldn't be anywhere without God. He's really working in my life, and I can feel it.
Were you a believer and all that stuff before?
Mm-hmm. I grew up in the church.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so this only strengthened that.
Yes, sir.
And you leaned on that a lot.
I did.
Because yes, a lot sir. Of people can go negative on that. They can go south and say, oh, why me, all this stuff, and then maybe that takes me further away. Yeah. You leaned in on that.
And I can't say I never thought, why me? Why me? It was a big thing, like, because...
You're 16 years old.
I think about this every day. Like, where would I be if this never happened? Like, why did it have to happen to me at that time? But you're never gonna get anywhere thinking like that. It happened. It sucks that it happened, but you might as well get something from it happening.
Miles, I always say this, and I talk sports for a living every day, 11 to 2 o'clock, I'm talking sports. I'm talking about athletes like yourself, and one of the things that's the most impressive thing, in fact, the most impressive thing to me, is failure and overcoming failure. And now that's on the field. Failure, that's different. Mm-hmm. But it's also when you get knocked down, and that's not failure, but it's how you recover from that.
Yeah.
So when I see a baseball player strike out 47 times in a row, and then I see him recover and come back and oh, he hit a grand slam and they win the game. He recovered from that failure. With you, you didn't have that opportunity to fail at that level. I mean, because you're playing extremely well. But then life comes in and says, hey, we're knocking you down right now. And then you recover. That, to me, is the biggest story that you can talk about when you're talking about athletes. Or anybody, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But to go through all this, it would have been really easy to just be like, yeah, football's done. I'll, you know, limp it along through school, and then who knows what's next. But here you are, man. And you probably got a radio career waiting for you, too.
Thank you. I mean, the failure part, you know, I didn't have the chance to fail, but you can't escape failure. And my time of failure just happens to be now. I mean, you know, I'm in the weight room. I can't hit the numbers that I think I should be hitting because my body's not there yet. On the field, I might not be able to make the plays. I might not be able to do that. But failing fast is failing to succeed. You're failing fast. You're failing hard to get to a higher level. And I just think that me going through these difficult times now and struggling, It's really propelling me forward instead of holding me back, because I'm doing it at such a high level with these great athletes and these great coaches.
When you talk about how close you are with your family, this is your first semester, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this has got to be all Pretty interesting. I mean, are you like in a, I never know. Are you in a dorm? Like, what is that situation
I'm in
like?
I'm in a dorm. I have three other roommates.
Are they cool?
Yeah.
Because when I was at UNC, my roommate was weird. So I was like, no, this, I'm homesick. Do you get homesick?
I do. You know, I'm as homesick as you can be when you're 2 hours away, but
I was 4 hours away, so they were still in the state, but you're still like, I can't just pop down the street and see mom real quick.
Yeah, I mean, once I get a car, I can't lie. I'll be down there every weekend. I can't. But
did you Uber over here?
I did.
I could have came and got you, man. I could have came and picked you up. I was just thinking about that. That's right. You messaged me on the Uber thing. The family thing, especially with what you went through, that's got to be tough, too, to then go, all right, we're all in this together. We're going to hospital visits all the time, and then now I'm here. I'm on my own. And that's scary by itself, and then given this situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is scary, especially for my parents. You know, they like to give me my space, but they have to have some helicopter parent to some degree.
I would be doing the same thing, man. I got a 6-year-old, and I'm just looking at you and going through all this stuff. I would be like, "Hey, what's going on? Let's chat. Let's go."
Yeah, but I get it, and I love them for that. And another thing to the family thing is it's really hard. You know, I'm obviously not with my dad and my stepmom, and I got to keep them in the loop. I got to make sure they're not just hearing from my mom.
Okay. It's different. Your other set of parents. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just, they're not hearing from my mom how I'm doing. They got to hear from me.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you got to update everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's more, you know, it's just, it's better hearing it from you.
Yeah, even my extended family that I don't really talk to as much, they need to hear how I'm doing too, so it's just hard to keep everybody in the loop. But
you got a lot, as you said, you got a lot of brothers and sisters. There's a lot of people that you got to keep updated, man. Do you have to like make a list? Hey, check. I talked to them this week.
Yeah, and I suck. I suck at texting, so I always feel terrible when they check up on me and I'm, 2 days ago. Yeah, so
because you get to you read it and you're like, all right, I'll get back to that, and then you put the phone away, and then it's probably like, forgot or something.
I answer in my head, and then I don't text. Yeah, I just
Do you have? Is there like a teammate, your roommates? Are you close with anybody? Like, is there a person up here that's somebody you feel like you can kind of lean on?
My roommate, Tavian, we've known each other since elementary school. We went to the same high school. Now we're roommates, and he knows everything about me. He knows everything that's going on. So that's my guy.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great because not going through what you're going through, but when I came up here, I didn't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird too. But having a base and a foundational type friend, that's got to be huge for you.
And my teammates, the UNC team, it was like, you have this pre-existing notion of what college is and college football, but when I got here, everybody's like, "Oh, so what's your name? Where are you from?" Everyone's just nice. Everyone's open and inviting, and it was shocking how nice everybody was.
When Coach was telling me that, when the going gets tough and guys hang their head about workouts, and sometimes he'll point to you, like, talk to me about that. Does that is that happening? Is that something where players are inspired by, or are they also like, okay, we get it. This guy's freaking Superman over here.
To be honest, I'm not sure how many people are aware of my situation. Like,
really? Okay.
Yeah, so, like, I don't really tell people just because, it's always hard. It's always hard.
Yeah.
To like, how do I?
You don't just go up and shake someone's hand and say, "Hi, I'm battling cancer."
Yeah, I don't.
What's your situation?
If they find out, they find out, and and the people that do know, I'm sure they don't feel. I think it's just another thing to build on to build that kind of chemistry with the team.
Do you feel like you're again picking up? Are you picking up speed? Are you seeing your strength come back? Is all that where you want it to be?
Mm-hmm. I'm still working on the speed part, but the strength, it's definitely coming back. I'm putting on weight. I'm probably the heaviest I've been since I got sick. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting better on the field.
Do you have a, like, how's your appetite?
Ooh, the appetite part is, the thing about cancer is there are so many things that come with it, obviously, but it's like, I can't eat some days, you know, even without the pancreatitis, like you have to start taking insulin just because you take steroids that boost your blood sugar. But I have to take appetite stimulant pills just to really be able to eat. So that's difficult.
Man, and what is the pancreatitis? Is that something that will take care of itself too as you progress through this, or?
They said it might, but as the time has gone by, they're saying, okay, we need to start looking at this as a long-term issue.
Is there pain there with that on a constant basis? Or
no. The pain during was brutal. Mm. But now my pancreas is, I think it's good. But no more pain, just having to take insulin and stuff like that.
What are your goals for at UNC? What's your, you know, somewhat long-term plan?
You know, obviously, get on scholarship, fulfill that lifelong dream. And then just got to start out small, you know, get on the travel squad, you know, get one rep, two reps, get in the starting lineup, get in this packet, you know, just got to start out small and build my way up.
Man, I'm going to be, if there's a way to get a jersey of yours, I would like to get that. Have you sign that thing? I want that framed somewhere, man. But I want to get to just a couple of final things with you, Miles, but I also want to take this opportunity. You're not just doing this thing like, hey, I recovered, bam. You're now advocating and you're working with other entities to shed some light on your situation so that it might better help other people. And I know you, and this is important to your family, giving back and helping folks out too. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, the world of cancer, it's really vast. You know, once you start going through these things, I don't know how they get your information, but they do. And they start messaging you. And, just one entity, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, they advocate for like mental health. They give you resources. They have a scholarship fund for blood cancer survivors. And they're really just good at pushing out information to on like spreading awareness, and I'm really trying to give back in that area.
Are there any entities that you want to shout out in particular, or
the people that have helped me a lot? Pinky Swear Foundation. They helped my parents. They helped with, I think they paid a little bit of rent. Obviously the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and then just want to shout out Children's Hospital in Denver, Children's Hospital in Colorado Springs. I'm blessed to be a child ambassador for the hospital, so I'm able to do events, and I have a fundraising page that I'm trying to help.
What is that fundraising page? I know I'm putting the pressure on you here. If you have it.
I actually do. My mom made sure I had it.
Of course. Another shout out for mom who doesn't want to be talked about.
Oh, Lord.
Well, you can do. I like this post that you made, too. And again, it's right when you and I followed each other. Mm-hmm. You pinned this September 1st, 2023. Cancer tried to beat me, but I made the winning play.
Yes.
And from that moment, you know, again, when Ed brought your name up, from that moment, I just started researching you and going through a bunch of different things. And man, I hate to like belittle it by saying it's a cool story. Mm-hmm. It's an inspiring story. It's an inspirational story, man.
You.
And your attitude about it is the other thing that's so inspirational.
Thank you.
All right. So give me that. You have that site, you have that, that page. I want to make sure people can go and learn about this too, if we can get to that. But man, it's just, you know, your football side, these stories are fun to talk about anyway on the football side. I love talking to players, but when you get somebody like you, who's going through this, man, it's something else. It's powerful.
Oh, thank you. you know, I'm just trying to make the best out of my situation. I'm just trying to do what God has called me to do, and I'm just trying to just trying to take it day by day.
Well, I think, and again, your approach and your attitude about this has got to be so inspirational for people that you're trying to help, and now you're advocating for it.
Mm-hmm. I also have I can't even say like this was my idea. My mom really pushes me to do these kinds of things. We have Mission Six Strong, which is homage to my high school number, and it's just raising money for my clinic. You know, we gave backpacks for all the kids in the clinic. We made these things called poke packs because we hated hearing the kids screaming and crying when they have to get hit with the needles. So we're just trying to do everything we can. This is the website.
This is the website. Okay. All right. We got it here. Let me find it. How do you like look at the whole thing? Secure.childrencolorado. Let me see. Let me see.
Yeah, here. I actually didn't know how to say it. That's why I gave it to you.
Here, send that link to me on the Twitter box here. This is the beautiful part about the podcast thing, man. We're not like constrained by time. Just send that message to me. I want to, because I can't pull the full site up on your phone. So if you send the message to me, I'm going to click the link and I want to get that out. And I want to share that too. Or maybe we can when we share out the podcast and everything. So are you do you go make regular visits like when you don't have to be there? Like you're talking about kids and stuff like that. Are you going by there?
When I can, you know, it's hard with the whole college schedule, but I definitely make it an effort to just go in and show face, just because with me being, you know, having this sort of platform now.
Yeah.
I just think it's important that I'm not just a face on a billboard or on a poster, that I'm actually getting to know people and actually trying to make an actual difference in the clinic.
All right, so it's Secure.Children's Colorado Foundation. Am I? Are we getting that out? Okay, that's,
I think so.
That's the site. So I just want to make sure. Oh, let me delete that. See if that goes there. What's your relationship like with the coaching staff? What's your relationship like with Coach Ed Lamb?
The coaching staff is amazing. They're amazing at fellowshipping and really making you feel like a part of the team. Coach Lamb, he's always asking like how I am, and we had a defensive back dinner at his house.
Oh yeah, he talked about these position groups going out to his house.
Yeah,
and stuff.
And I had a doctor's appointment that day, and I wasn't feeling well, and I didn't go to practice, and so I don't know, just something in my head told me, you know, you didn't go to practice, I don't think you should go to this dinner, you know, just like out of respect. And then he texted me. He's like, you okay? He's like, you know, you were invited to dinner, right? I was like, yeah, I just didn't feel like I should go just because I wasn't at practice. He's like, no, you're invited.
Get
whenever.
Over here, man. Dude, and see, that's another thing about your personality that I'm gathering here. This is a guy, you're so self-aware and you're thinking, man, I didn't feel good enough to go to practice. Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't go eat food and go out there. That's part of what makes you who you are, man. Like that right there, there's a lot of people that are just like, didn't make practice, don't care, free food coming up, let's go.
Yeah.
And you thought, no, oh, man, that wouldn't be right. And Coach Lamb does this. What was the dinner like? I've met his wife a couple of times. She seems delightful. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Coach Lamb is very cool.
Yeah, the dinner we had for the newcomers.
Pretty good.
It was
pretty
it,
good spread.
It was good. I had to take some back to my dorm. It was
little
good.
Doggy bags and wrap that thing up. Oh good. Yeah, man. What'd you guys have?
We had a.
You just remember it was good.
I think we had mac and cheese. We had pulled pork sandwiches.
Dude, I'm gonna see if I can get to one of these dinners. Just sneak in with you guys.
It was good.
You won't know.
It was good.
So this was for the newcomers. It wasn't a position group thing. It was the newcomers.
Yeah.
Okay, and did you get a chance to meet Coach Lamb's kiddos at all?
I did.
I mean, obviously he has a pretty unique situation too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another thing. He really has a calling or a purpose.
Yeah,
I'd say to really help people that have it, you know, have it a little harder. So I really appreciate that from him.
One of the things I've learned about him the last couple of weeks, he's been talking about keeping the guys dedicated, not mm-hmm. just on the field, but off the field. He's really pushing hard on the, hey, let's not go out and party and do crazy things. How do you view that? Obviously, given your situation, you have a lot of things you're focused on.
Yeah.
But I know that can be tough for some players that are in that age range, and it's college, you know? And what's that like? How's that been received, at least according to you, from a player's perspective and talking to teammates?
The team, they're really receiving it well. He just proposed, like, I think Greeley West is doing a Special Olympics weightlifting thing, and he said, yeah, like, it'd be great if we could have people go out, and before he could even finish, you got guys raising their hand. What time? Like, when do we need to be there?
Yeah.
So people, they're buying in, and they want to do these kinds of things. And one thing that really stands out to me is during our team meeting a couple weeks ago, he showed a video of a kid that was getting bullied. And I guess some of our linemen reached out and talked to him and just gave him some encouragement. And I didn't know he did. I think they just did that on their own. So that's the kind of culture that Coach Lamb is really bringing to the program. And I think it's only going up from here.
Good humans, right?
Like, yes, that's nothing but.
That's what you're talking about. And you know, and that stuff will take care of itself on the field too.
Yeah.
If all the players are something close to how you view things, then I think that we're in pretty good hands here, man. I want to throw that out. So I did get it's secure.childrenscoloradofoundation.org.
Yes,
so I got that pulled up here. Is there anything else that you want to get out there, dude, before we let you go?
Oh man, I just want to, if anybody listening, you know, you don't have to be going through something major like cancer to have hardships. Mm. Everybody has their own hardships, and I just really think it's your outlook. And I know having a good outlook is something you have to work for, but I think it's something worthwhile to try to put into practice of having, okay, this isn't going my way. What can I do to make it go my way? And how can I use what's going on to better myself while it's not going my way? So you're not just wasting.
Yeah.
You're not just wasting time.
Again, it's the, when you get knocked down or when you struggle at something or you don't get it right the first time, it's how you recover. Mm. And you are taking that to a different level, my friend.
Thank you.
I want to keep in touch with you, man. I want to keep following this story of yours, and I'll be rooting for you. I joked with, you know, Coach Lamb. I said, these podcasts, it's making me closer to the program. I'm going to feel like if you guys do lose next year, which you probably won't, you'll go undefeated.
Yeah.
It's going to bother me more now. Like, I feel more connected to this situation.
Yeah, might as well suit up.
You saw what happened last night on my Twitter, right? Did I show you this?
I don't think
Prep
so.
Star. I don't know if they reached out to me said, hey, you registered. We're college people are looking out for you, man. You've been flagged. We want you. And it's like, I wrote back, I'm 37, but if you guys are in, let's rock and roll, man.
Those recruiting sites are, there's something different.
I was like, come on, maybe you guys should do your research. I mean, when I was in high school, we didn't really have film we could put out on social media. Plus, I'm 90 now, so I don't think that's going to work out.
When I used to get some of those, like, sophomore year, me and my friends be like, oh, look. Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying I shouldn't, that's not real. I shouldn't take that seriously and reach out to Coach Lamb and be like, dude, they see it. Why don't you see it?
They see it. They got to be seeing something.
Seeing something, man. Miles, it's an absolute honor to do this with you. Something we're trying to grow here is our podcast network and sitting down. And that doesn't work if we don't have, in my view, really positive, inspirational stories. And that's what I want this to be about. Mm-hmm. And so I thank you for doing this. And I thank you for being the person that you are. Again, only an hour of getting to know you, you can see it, man. It's pretty dang obvious the way you go about life. You are truly a special dude.
Thank you.
No matter what, you know, the football side, whatever, you have a bright future, man. And it sounds like that's what's the really cool part about this story, that future part. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, buddy.
All right.
We'll let you get out of here. You got spring ball, man. You got to get back to practice pretty soon, right?
Yeah.
Coach might be upset if he finds out you're hanging out here and not lifting or anything at this point. We'll let you get back to work. Miles McClarity, safety, first semester at UNC for the UNC Bears. Best of luck to you during the spring period. Well, the spring game is April 27th? When is that? Something. It's late April.
Yeah, late
April. Late April. We'll get that out for you. And that'll give an opportunity for folks to come out and watch and maybe even meet you. Dude, that'd be kind of cool. Come
yes,
out there.
Sir.
All right, Miles. We'll catch up with you soon. Let's stay in touch, okay, my friend?
Of course. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, man. It's been another, this has been a kind of a bonus episode of Football 52 and all things look at UNC football. This was a special one with Miles McClarity. Miles, we'll keep in touch with you, my man. That'll do it for us. We'll talk at you next week.